minutes to add all the things I'd like to talk about. But I'd like to start off with just a little bit of humor and picking up on Osha's remark about the fellow who happens to be in our midst, who said to Chief Bassett locally, Police Chief Bassett, die yuppie scum. One of the judges in response to that, and I won't name the judge, and this is not in the official courtroom, but it was back in chambers, said, well, isn't truth a defense? I'm sure that judges the view of the particular police chief. I want to talk about, I had an agenda of what I was going to say tonight, and then that changed after I read this morning's paper. I think that quite a few of you probably had some reactions to this morning's paper about the press conference and the three women who were accusing Officer Butch Baker of... What? Okay, very good. And I'm assuming the one that's here is one of the three women, although if Butch is here, he can hear this as well. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I would try making my points first, and then we've got to have some exchange in a few minutes.
We have a speak
out, by the way. What I would like... What I'd like to do is to say that the reading of that article, to me, gave more affirmative proof than anything else I could read about why we need a police review commission. And it's not because of what the women alleged. What they alleged was some very serious conduct, some conduct that we absolutely must stand up against and stop. Not in any sense suggesting that we shouldn't take their accusations seriously. I personally was not there. I do not have personal knowledge of whether their charges are true or false. What convinced me most of all about why we need a police review commission in Santa Cruz was the reaction of the police chief and the reaction of the police union spokesman to their charges. And I'd like to focus on what those reactions were and why the police response illustrates why we need a police review commission. The police union spokeswoman, notice how we always get spokeswomen to go ahead and defend men against women's charges of sexual harassment. The burden charge was that we had to rebuke these women because these charges were false. They were lies. The truth is, folks, that that woman who is representing the police officer as an advocate doesn't know anything more about whether that was true or false than I do. She wasn't there. I wasn't there. It illustrates rather the police mentality that whenever a police officer is accused of any wrong, no matter what the evidence, no matter what the facts, you stand up and accuse the accuser. That is the nature of a police state. That is what these people want to bring us to. And that is what they want to maintain. So, it's for that mentality is why we need to have a police review board. Not that these women had their accusations. These accusations, unfortunately, are brought oftentimes. But then we can say, well, she was an informal organization. What about the police chief? He would be more representative. He was a bit, he didn't call them a liar. In fact, he did the politically correct and appropriate, legalistically proper thing, and he said, oh, we're going to fully investigate these charges. We'll look into them and all this. Why? That sounds almost like due process. Then he went on to say, just in case anybody had the wrong impression, he went on to say that Officer Baker is a fine officer. He wanted to let us know that they're going to get a fair hearing, just so we know that before and after this hearing, it comes out that Officer Baker is a fine officer. Now, this is the police chief speaking. Now, I know Butch Baker. And actually, one of the things he did is he pointed out that he received a Medal of Valor for some heroism at the time of the earthquake. And I did not wish to detract in any way from the probability that Butch Baker, in fact, was valiant and heroic during the earthquake. It's to his credit. I don't want to detract from that. It has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not he committed sexual harassment against these women. Fortunately, men who commit sexual harassment are capable of being very fine heroes during an earthquake, and we can be glad of that, at least a part of that. Second, there's some likable things about Butch Baker. He and I can bandy about and have some chats in between our court appearances, and there are some very likable things about Butch Baker. There are also some things that are not so likable about Butch Baker, and some things that Chief Bassett knows about Butch Baker. At the very same time, he's calling a fine officer. It is known to Chief Bassett, it is known to me, it is known to the judges, it is a point of remarking by the judges to me in the aside that Butch Baker is absolutely the worst cop in this town for homeless people's rights.
Thank you, right?
That may also be the case. I'm speaking from the point of my own expertise.
Me too, right? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Butch Baker is the one who distinguishes himself from the rest of the force. We are fortunate. Most of our line officers in this town are pretty fine officers, I believe. I'd say that for at least three quarters of them. I'm not talking about the sergeants. I'm talking about the folks in the patrol officer line. Butch Baker is, it is known in the courts when he comes in with a homeless case that it's going to be a pile of shit in most cases. And that's not common knowledge among the judges. And this is who Chief Bassett is calling a fine cop. And it's significant that he's calling a fine cop at the time when he's commencing an investigation. You know, one of those impartial investigations that the cops always like to give to each other. Also, Butch Baker happens to be one of the two police that if I hear them testify, I happen to be biased before they even open up their mouth because I have heard Butch Baker and another cop who I will not name on this occasion lie under oath in the courtroom. And I don't say, I did name one of them. I won't name the other person, I'll just say that she's one of the few women officers. And most of the women officers are really fine. So this is not, if this is a fine officer, then Chief Bassett has a lousy idea of what constitutes a fine officer, and that's true. If you look at Chief Bassett's comments about the homeless and homeless activists, you will see that he is very hostile to this cultural scene. Now, we get to another part. Why didn't these women go to the formal complaint procedure first? Now, I understand there's lots of ramifications and implications about that, and those three people can give you more detailed explanations. So I would like to speak from stereotype, which may or may not fit their particular circumstances. One of the reasons that women or others who are abused by police might not go to the police is because of a practice we have it at UC Berkeley Police Department, where if you make a complaint of violence or sexual harassment to the police, they duly record it, they duly investigate it. Again, they've got a fewer woman officer that's primarily the investigations. And you find yourself at the receiving end of new charges. That is, what I understand from attorney Julia Houck in Berkeley, the standard operating procedure of the UC Berkeley Police Force. To make a complaint against the police is to guarantee a criminal prosecution against yourself. Fortunately, I do not think that that is yet the case in Santa Cruz. I do not think our police department, our internal review, is that correct. I do not think that we have yet reached the heights of academia. That is the gift of UC Berkeley. We could be on the way. So, if one is to make a complaint, it might be useful to go public first and get the sounding out before they cranked out some new charges. But now we talk here, these police advocates say, it's wrong for these people to go public. It's wrong for them to spill out their guts in public instead of letting the police gloss it over first. Well, with all due respect, not with a whole lot of respect, the U.S. Supreme Court has told us otherwise. There is a case called New York Times versus Sullivan, 1964, U.S. Supreme Court. It's a free speech case. And in that case, Supreme Court teaches that it is not merely our privilege, not merely our right to speak out about public officials. It is our duty. It is a basic duty of citizenship. If we fail to go ahead and say what we know is wrong, what we believe in good faith is wrong about a public official, we are failing our duty of citizenship. This is not a mere frolic or a frivolous privilege. This is a duty. It is a sacred duty. That's part of the teaching of New York Times versus Sullivan by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1964. Well, what about cops? Are they public officials in this, that should have this kind of scrutiny? The California courts say yes, even down to the lowest beat cop, and I don't consider it to be a low position. It's an honored position when it's done right. And many of our cops in this town do it right. I have respect for officers like Ken Black, even when I threatened to sue him. These people must be scrutinized. We must scrutinize them in public because they are affecting our public image. They are affecting our public actions. They are affecting the quality of our public life. And whether we are silent or active will determine whether we have civilization based on fascism or freedom. The two other points that I want to make, and then I'll close. I mean, I've run over here. These are the things that were on my agenda. Got to get back. The cop watch, I mean, it's so basic and it's so beautiful and it's so necessary. I just want to go on record again for supporting the concept and supporting the idea of it. And to illustrate how necessary it is, one of the things we need to do, right now, so you can't basically convict a cop or get him to be criticized or her to be criticized at all unless you have a virtual videotape of it. So what do we do when things are that bad? Well, I'll tell you one of the things we can do. One of the things we can do is, for those of you who can afford it, go out and get some video cameras and use them. We need to focus on what's going on. And some people did. And I watched some of their videotaping. And these people are people that most of us don't feel politically comfortable with. I'm talking about some Operation Rescue people who are doing an anti-choice demonstration up here on Mission Street. And the cops got very brutal with them. But they had their video camera recording this brutality, and I saw the way that woman's arm was broken, and I can testify from my seeing the videotape, it could not have happened the way the police spokesman said it happened. It did not happen. And by the way, yes, you could even hear them when they broke. You could hear the bones break. Oh, yes, the cops knew. And this is the most important thing for me to tell. I told it twice to the Board of Supervisors, and it has twice been disregarded by the Board of Supervisors. After that happened, Sheriff Al Noren did an action that I think should be considered criminal, feloniously criminal. He came up to that video camera and he put his hand personally over the lens so his voice could continue their brutality. That is our Al Noren, our elected sheriff. I saw that happen. I saw that videotape. I saw his face coming up. I saw his hand shut off that vision. That is our Sheriff Al Noren. That should be criminal. We do not have members of the Board of Supervisors who even dare to speak out of that, who would even dare to look at that film because they come from Operation Rescue people, those right-wingers that we can't listen to. Well, we look at their tapes. The other thing I want to say, the pain compliance hold. The pain compliance hold is an act of torture. It is an act of torture. It is also, by now, standard professional operation. And the way our politicians avoid taking up abating this form of torture is to defer to the professionalism of the police who say that they use it, they need it, and every other department authorizes it. I want to suggest that our military advisors who taught the police of Central America and Latin America how to torture were acting in a similar professional vein. It is not okay to torture. It is not okay to label torture professionalism. And it is not okay for us to look the other way when it is going on. The police, the pain compliance hold must be outlawed.
You're here.
Thank you very much.
A blue van with a light on, it's got a light on, and it's over there. So turn off your headlights if anybody is wealthy enough to own or drive a blue van.
Well, that sounds like my van.
Yeah.
No, it's still got the dealer tags for the license plate.
Anybody has stolen a blue van?
Is that new or is it old? I've got an old.
Well, thank you, Ray, for all your humanistic works.
Thank you.
Beyond liberal, beyond progressive, truly radical.
I'd like to know whether Operation Rescue was doing something illegal there. I mean, he mentioned the fact that none of our supervisors would take up that issue, so I'd just like to know.
Yeah, they were. They were doing something illegal,
okay.
And I'm not supporting their demonstration.
I'm just supporting what the police are doing either.
Right.
But I just wanted to point that
but
out.
But I have yet to find any of our supervisors willing to take the sheriff to task for the brutality, for the wanton brutality, both against that woman, Elizabeth Daly, and against the other Operation Rescue people, or against the anti-war people, or against the homeless demonstrators, and we go on and on. It's very important that when a person is arrested, that it matters not what they're arrested for. We have the duty to make sure that they are humanely treated upon that arrest.
Yes, I agree, but I just wanted to point that out since you mentioned
sure.
that none of our supervisors. So.
All right.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
I don't deny the need for the arrest.
We're going to move on and have a song break now with Mark again. I believe he wants to say something about lifestyle.
I'm going to say something about microphones here too, so I don't strain too badly on that.
Rather than leech might be surprised at what I see.
and the barricade. We're going to have a speak out now. I'm inviting people from the audience who don't have to be polished speakers, just have some background or an experience with the police. I can't guarantee who's here and who's listening to you. If you don't want to use your own name, don't. And you may also, during this period, ask questions of any of the speakers. But first, I'm going to call on, before you do any of that, I'm going to call on Sarah Hildale, if she's here.
She's outside the door.
Ah. Could somebody ask for Sarah if she's outside? You may have been a little disturbed earlier when that young man stood up and started occupying the microphone. It's his girlfriend, Sarah, who was humiliated on the street of this town by a very personal search of her body by this particular officer, Baker. And the boyfriend, who's not a large man, was trying to uphold his honor and hers by objecting. He didn't physically attack the policeman, but the policeman made a point of arresting him after that and charged him with resisting arrest. And Brian now faces jail time on account of this. Sarah, please come up and tell a little of this experience to people here.
Hello, how y'all doing this evening? I'd like to thank you all for coming here, for one thing. It's very noble on your parts to be concerned about what's going on in your community. And I'd also like to thank these two ladies for coming all the way from Berkeley. Thank you very much. And giving their sound advice on how to get these things in the process of, hopefully, in the process of getting started. My name is Sarah Hildale, and I was arrested by Officer Baker last April. In the process, when he was arresting me, he did a completely illegal search, searching up into my blouse and into the top of my pants. He was completely out of his jurisdiction in doing so, completely, and with no right whatsoever for even stopping us. At the time, myself and my boyfriend, Brian, were living on the streets in Santa Cruz. I did not have a jacket like I have on today. I had no place to take a shower. I was just in town. And there are so many incidences like this that go completely unnoticed by the press, completely unnoticed by any type of authority, go completely brushed under the carpet again and again and again and again, simply because these people have no money, have no job, and no place to go. The police force here in Santa Cruz has made it very obvious that they want something done with the situation, which is very fair. I can understand this as well. I would like to see something done about the situation as well. But what I've seen done here in Santa Cruz is so outrageous that is to be unbelieved. They've arrested people, beaten people up, put people in jail for just being there, sitting down on the street, walking on the street, simply being alive under a certain poverty level. What the police and the city has been doing is arresting these people, putting them into prisons, making up charges, putting them into places where they don't belong. They're not criminals. Most of these people are not criminals. Most of these people are not insane. And yet they are treated with an inhuman attitude and placed into categories where they don't belong. Yes. I'd like to say that I would like a power to be put against onto the police, so they do not have such a power over the community as they do, in the way that they do it. There are people that do need to be
How can we humanize them?
I believe that the money is, there's too much money being distributed to the police force. If it was redistributed into education, if it was redistributed into some kind of public awareness, that people would benefit, the economy would benefit, and that in general, our lives in whole would benefit. What Officer Baker did to me was completely humiliating and completely degrading. And it shouldn't be done to anybody, not male or female. What he did to my boyfriend was completely out of line, brutal, and something beyond an investigation, of a police officer by another police officer has to be done about this. Thank you again.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. And don't doubt a word of what she said. Brian was thrown against the police car, thrown onto the ground, and thrown into the police. I think he was treated like a low creature. Whereas he's a human being with a very good heart, a great strong spirit, a man from a country that needs liberation. He is from Londonderry, Ireland, a very oppressed...
Derry,
Ireland, an area that needs liberating from the rule of the British monarchy and their parliament. Is Leith here? Is Leith a...
Yeah, I'm here.
I know Leith did want to say something. He's also... Leith, by way of introduction, is one of the most arrested people in this county because he stood up for his own rights and many others all the time.
So I have a loud voice. I'm not going to use the mic. You might have heard me yell, and the camping ban in this town. People in Berkeley, I used to yell, people were talking about Berkeley. I've been in jail in Berkeley, too. I know the jails here and there very well. You see out of Berkeley, you see out of South Africa, you see out of People's Park, free Berkeley, free South Africa, free People's Park. They didn't used to arrest me for that one, but when we did an anarchist march that was a homeless march, and we yelled, die yuppie scum, they used to put me in jail for that one. And in Santa Cruz, they'll put you in jail for just about anything. I've been arrested for all sorts of things in Santa Cruz. Does anybody know what happened on October 17th, 1989? Well, that was the day I was arrested for disturbing the peace on Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, actually. I was in Santa Rita when the earthquake hit, you know? And after the earthquake, you know, and... Berkeley, they went to school the next day like nothing happened. And I didn't know about Santa Cruz till I picked up the New York Times on the front cover. You know, the whole town was destroyed. So I came back to Santa Cruz that day, and we were camped out. They put homeless people and everybody into the
Civic Center.
Thank you. I don't know how long I have, but I've also gone to jail in this town for speaking about homeless, houseless issues at the city council meeting. And I am going to take a few minutes and talk here. I met Linda when I first came here, and I was carrying some bread because in Berkeley there's food everywhere. You know, everybody eats in Berkeley. There are fat people sitting on the side of the road with all this food around them. Okay, but in Santa Cruz, I put food on Linda's homeless table. She says, "Get that food off here. You can't have food in Santa Cruz." I said, "What are you talking about? You know, people have to eat. Everywhere I go, I give people food. You know, not in Santa Cruz. You know, there are laws in Santa Cruz." You can't feed the people in Santa Cruz without a permit. In fact, there is an actual law in this town that says you cannot feed people out of your own garden except 3 days, once a month, 3 days out of every 90-day period, or you go to jail. I turn on the radio in this town, and here's this woman saying, yeah, if you're rich in Santa Cruz, if you're rich in Santa Cruz, you have a dinner party, you know? If you're poor, you feed the people, excuse me, you feed the rich people in Santa Cruz, they call it a dinner party. Feed the poor, it's a crime. In fact, I've been arrested and gone to jail for feeding people in this town, as well as a lot of other people. So I learned about food there, and then they talked about the camping ban. I mean, we slept everywhere. We used to. They've changed that in Berkeley. But people used to sleep everywhere in Berkeley. It didn't matter where. Now they're arresting people for camping in Berkeley, except People's Park. You couldn't sleep in People's Park, but you can sleep on the edges or at the churches, and now they're beating up people there. But in Santa Cruz, you aren't allowed to sleep anywhere, unless you're in a house, you know? So here we are after the earthquake. The earthquake hits, and people are camped out all over, right? But when homeless people were camped out right the next 2 days after the earthquake or something, they're arresting them and taking them to jail. So that's when I got a little upset. And I had this big sign over there at the earthquake shelter, and it said, welcome to Santa Cruz, go to sleep, go to jail. Okay, and we've got buttons that say it. And it's true, I've been arrested 10 times in this town, gone to jail 10 times for trying to get a night's sleep. Santa Cruz. When I first came here, I was hitchhiking down, and people used to ask me, why do you want to come to Santa Cruz? These are people, you know, driving me down. Every time I go to Santa Cruz, these are just normal people driving to Santa Cruz. The police hassle you. Has anybody out there been hassled by the police in Santa Cruz?
Yep.
How about Berkeley? I know some of you guys have been to Berkeley, too. So that's what happens. You know, we got arrested 3 times on a kitchen quest where we were trying to feed the people in Santa Cruz. After the county wouldn't give us a permit or a place to cook the food for the free meal. So we went out and we got arrested 3 times. We called it a kitchen quest. And out of that kitchen quest, there's now a $55,000 mobile kitchen over there at the free meal. And a lot of people eating the free meal, you know, that's where that food came from. And that's what we stood up and did that. Used to talk about houseless issues at the city council. It was just a city council member here that had to leave because this is Friday night and she's time to go home, you know, to her home because that's her night off. At least she made it here. And I said, a lot of people in here, you know, wish they had homes to go to. Wish they didn't have police harassing them out there on the street, you know, waking them up in the middle of the night. Anybody been woken up in the middle of the night at Santa Cruz?
Yep.
You know, it's not a lot of fun. I've gone to jail at all hours of the night, you know. It's like, yeah, take me to jail. You know, it's a major crime. I'm the person that got arrested for asking a chief of police for a cigarette. Santa Cruz, it's panhandling. They're still arresting panhandlers in Santa Cruz, even though they fought the thing in the state
San Francisco,
which says now that panhandling is not against the law in the state of California. But they'll still arrest you for it in Santa Cruz because they're waiting for some lawyer to have a test case and years from now, but they'll still put you in jail, you know, asking someone for a quarter or whatever.
Put Brian in jail.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I am not a panhandler, and I know the statute as far as panhandling in the state of Santa Cruz is not. Any person can go up in a non-threatening manner and ask a person, not persons, for a quarter or a cigarette, and they can take them the whole way to jury. And they will be found not guilty. So any person that is prosecuted can take them the whole way to jury.
So I've also been arrested
and
in this town for issues
and they will be found not guilty in the end of
relating police abuse. I saw my good friend No Guns. Does anybody out there know No Guns? No Guns was beat up several years ago right over at the city council place by Sergeant St. Ange. A good friend of mine, Morpheus Mike, got beat up by Sergeant Henning about a year ago. And after that, we did a march and a rally, and Robert and I and some other people were arrested for not having a permit for a march, which is their latest thing to keep the marches down in Santa Cruz. But they took us to jail for that one, too. I can go on about what people have been taken to jail for in this town. It's pretty ridiculous. However, it's time for a change for that. 2 years ago, after the earthquake, You know, some of us thought maybe things would change in Santa Cruz. You know, we've got some new city council people, some new police, some are gone. Chief Bassett's still here, and, you know, talking about I was arrested for panhandling. You know, he came to my trial for panhandling. You know, so I had to go back 3 times to court for asking him for a cigarette. You know, the judge just laughed. But the chief of police in this town was thought it was so important, he went over to the courthouse to make sure I had to go back to court. Finally, they just laughed it out of court. So what we need is a change in this town. We need some new city council people. We need a new police chief, new city manager. You know, we need people, the citizens of Santa Cruz, to stand up and vote and do the things. We need cop watch in this town. I know Berkeley's changed. You know, we need a police review commission. Because in Berkeley, the UC police are out of control. They have no review, nothing. They're crazy. It's night and day between the UC police and the Berkeley police, which has a police review board. So in Santa Cruz, we need a police review board. So after the earthquake, we had a memoriam for the people that died in the earthquake, for the city of Santa Cruz, and some of us talked after the earthquake, and I mean, it was really powerful because we were mourning the people that died in the earthquake and the town. And I said, someday in Santa Cruz, they're not going to say, welcome to Santa Cruz, go to sleep, go to jail. They're going to say, welcome to Santa Cruz, go to sleep, wake up in the light.
If there's anybody in the audience who has any pressing things that are unresolved in their mind or revelation they'd like to give us. I see somebody over there. Would you come up to the mic?
One thing, if anybody needs to use the satellite shelter program tonight, there will be a late night pickup for sober individuals only. This is what they say up at the Armory. You're welcome to join that pickup if you need a place to sleep tonight. See this woman over here if you're interested in getting a ride up to the satellite shelter program tonight.
Okay, speak to you.
If anybody can't hear me, I'll just speak up. I was with my friend Meadow and another girl in the city of San Francisco. We've been waiting or trying all day to get money for food after not eating a single morsel of food all day and coming across a few generous people. We finally got enough together so we could all get something to eat, you know, enough so that we went to sleep. We weren't going to sleep without food in our stomachs. Well, we finally got this done. We were picking a place to eat, and I have my skateboard with me. And me being from the East Coast, you can skateboard pretty much anywhere there. And there's no signs posted or anything. And so I was just naturally skateboarding around, not harming anyone, no one complained, nothing of the sort. And I crossed the street one's way and then crossed another way to catch up with them. And upon arriving on the other side of the street, I was greeted by a very unfriendly officer. Would you consider him unfriendly? And like, I give every person in this world the benefit of the doubt, no matter you got 3 eyes, 4 legs, no matter what you look like, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But he came up without respect and just giving me a hassle. I was like, look, I'm not from town. You know, I have no idea what your law is. And I was like, ignorance of the law, it's no excuse. But if you don't post it, how is someone going to, from out of town, who doesn't know where anything is, you know, how are they going to find out? I was like, can I at least get a warning? He's like, yeah, all right. I guess you deserve that. You can have a warning. So after he started walking away, I, being an American citizen and believing in the Constitution of my amendments, exercised my First Amendment, which was freedom of speech, and oinked at him, because I'm kind of a wingnut. You know, I just did that. You know, that's just me. I'm a jester, a joker, and he turned around, came right back, and did I get back on my skateboard, Meta?
No.
So, without doing anything against his warning, he starts writing out a citation. I was like, well, what are you writing this out for, you know? You gave me a warning. I didn't get back on my skateboard. He's like, you can tell to the judge. He's like, right now, you're going downtown with me unless you show me some identification. I proved to him that I have my book bag, which was stolen in San Francisco the day before. It was documented in this little notebook, which I keep, like, art and stuff, and, you know, whoever wants to write whatever, you know, little 5-year-old girl to, like, 60-year-old Ben, you know, whoever writes And in it was the, you know, item stolen in my book bag. And I was like, you know, my any kind of identification I would have had was in there. It's dated. You know, I got them to try to prove to him who I was, that there was no necessary need for this. And by this point, I'm in handcuffs. He's like, well, if you don't have an ID, you know, you have to come to jail. How do I know who you are? And I was like, you know, here's two character witnesses for me. They'll tell you that I'm not a thief. You know, I don't harass people, I don't fight with people, etc. Well, he couldn't take this. So while I was in handcuffs, I tried what your advice by, like, people walking by. They're, you know, they're looking at me, and I'm just standing in the street like this, and he's, like, waiting for his backup. And I was like, yeah. They're, like, looking at me. I was like, yeah, I was jaywalking. Because he, at this point, hadn't given me the law that I had broken after I was already handcuffed. I'm in my handcuffs, and he's like, well, it's number, penal code, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a cop. I'm not supposed to know that. You know, how was I to know this? I was like, tell me what that means then, you know?
Who is the cop?
Officer Simpson, number 1515. And the reason why I haven't gone in yet, and this is no cop-out in my book, because I feel if I approach it right now, like I already tried when I first went in, because that's just the beginning of what happened. All right. One of the guys who had given us some change rode by, and he's like, you know, what's going on here? And I was like, well, I was like, this officer deems it necessary to hold an innocent 19-year-old kid who obeyed his warning. He decided to arrest me. I mean, this country seems to have almost turned into a Nazi state where you have to carry papers to prove who you are, you know? Do any of y'all think you should all have to carry papers? What if you left your wallet one day and you don't have it? Or just some little slight mistake. They're going to take you to jail. And they took me to jail. I had to spend the night there. Well, as I was getting in the car, like the rest of that conversation, you know, he was just an idiot. He didn't want to argue with me because he didn't want to prove himself wrong to a bunch of people. And every time I started saying something, he'd like, you know, give me one of those or something. And I was like, look, man. I was like, what are you doing that for? He's like, yup, just don't say anything. Remember he was doing that, Meta? And so, like, so then I was just like, fine. I was like, wait till I just get downtown, you know, so I can tell your superiors what you're doing. And I'm, like, telling them as well. I'm like, right now you have a kid who doesn't steal, cheat, lie, or any of that, or rob, but you have crack addicts right down the corner, maybe 30 feet away, that's going to jump maybe your sister or your mother for her last dime or nickel so he can go shoot some coke up, you know? I was like, you're ridiculous, man. He's going to kill, rape, and you're holding some kid for skateboarding? I was like, you got to be insane. You're not only wasting the taxpayers' money that they work hard for, but you're just wasting your time and the time and those other innocent people who totally get hurt. And I was innocent, you know? At this point, I couldn't see anything I was doing wrong. So I was like, fine, I'll just ride this out, you know? If I'm right, you know, it'll be proven when I get down there. So they left. They took my skateboard. He legally searched me. Yeah. He just was picking through my pockets and stuff. And as far as I know, I don't know. Would that be legal?
Were you under arrest?
Well, he didn't tell me what I was under arrest for.
He can pat you down for weapons, and once he's arrested you, he can search you.
Oh, really? But what if I'm not being arrested for anything?
I think we should